Hey, sorry, I already hit record.
Oh my goodness.
Ruben just burned his taste buds off on our amazing Coffee Slingers coffee.
Yeah, and it's super frustrating when I do that because I cannot fully enjoy the taste of the amazing coffee.
Bummer. Or anything else the rest of the day. Now he can just eat whatever he wants.
I can
spicy
taste,
stuff, no problem.
I can taste something. No, I'll pay for that later. I can taste something gross now, or I can try something that I think is gross,
and you might like
and
it.
And then maybe my mind will say, "Hey, you now like this."
So the older you get, the older you get, the less you taste. Like, well, your taste buds kind of go, you know. So sometimes I'm talking to my parents or talking to Christy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's so good. And I was like, yep, I knew it. Taste buds are going. So my granny, my dad's mom, she'd be a great rambler, man. She would have been amazing on this rabbit hole ramble. She had a way about her. Anyway, we'd go to see her and she would get the weirdest food, like chips. She would get these like steak chips I don't know. They were all different weird flavors. Dude, it tasted terrible. And she's like, these are so good. And I was like,
Aldi was doing a special, like they have these things every once in a while that like just come into I told you it was hot.
Ow, dude.
I told you it was hot.
It's like extra. It's like extra hot. What the heck?
Oh my word.
Dude.
Well, good luck tasting now. Dude, let's go to lunch together sometime.
Where are we gonna go?
I don't know, someplace that we think is gross.
Somewhere disgusting.
Golden Corral. Oh,
we might get away with food poisoning there, man. I don't know if that's gonna work. Sheesh. Golden Corral. We still have Golden Corrals around here, people. Yes, right here in Oklahoma. Only go in and eat the meat because they carve it in front of you. Everything else, just leave there.
I don't want to throw Golden Corral under the bus, so I won't share the story, but I've had some pretty bad experiences there. Oh, man.
Anyway, you were talking about something. Interrupted you.
I don't remember. Yeah, Aldi once in a while does these, like they'll have these like just random things that they have for only a limited amount of time. And so one of them was like this, I don't know if it was like Philly cheesesteak or like club sandwich chips or something.
Hey.
It was like a Cuban like club.
See,
or something
gross.
Like that.
Dude. That's really gross.
We bought them. I was like,
that's the
oh,
stuff.
Man.
That is the stuff my granny would get. And she thought it was so amazing.
My kids loved it. I ate like three of them. And I was like, this is weird because like all I'm tasting is pickles. and I was crunchy on a chip.
That's
weird.
Have you seen those dill chips?
And then
dill
it had
chips,
like
dude.
A hint of
dill pickle chips. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
They're just, I don't know.
I can't.
They're too much.
I can't. Yeah. It's
Max
it's
loves
strange.
That kind of stuff.
Well, I'm a huge texture guy. So like to crunch on a chip. And to taste something else, like it really just wigs
it's like
my
a
brain
multiverse.
Out.
I like to try different chips that have jalapeno in it. And so like those kettle chips that are jalapeno, those are good.
Oh, yeah. Then, I get those at McAllister's.
Yes.
Yes.
Super good. And though those are like, there's a different brand, like Cape something.
Oh, yeah. Cape Cod.
Cape Cod kettle chips. Those are delicious.
Those are, yeah.
And then the kettle ones, the kettle brand, mm-hmm. delicious. But then you get to, there was one the other day, and I don't remember. I think it was Lay's, mm-hmm. and it had jalapeno lime.
Oh.
And I was like, this is going to be really good. Dude, from the moment I opened the bag, oh, it was so terrible. Like the smell. So I was like, okay, I can get over the smell. I ate maybe a fourth of the bag, dude. And for 2 days, my breath was like, bleh. I could taste it in the morning when you wake up.
That's a
go in there and brush my teeth,
dude,
taste it all day,
that.
Brush my teeth. Terrible.
Oh.
I threw the bag away, dude. I was like, that wasn't worth even
that's the worst.
Pushing through it. Well, today, I know we say this. So here's season two. Season two has just been a roller coaster, you know. So our first episode, we're like, you know what? We're going to shorten these things up. We're going to make them, you know, maybe that was our second episode. I don't remember. Because we had come off the heels of that Thanksgiving one that was only 20 minutes. I was like, oh, we can do this. And then our next episode was what, 2 hours?
I don't know, I was somewhere like, around
it was
there.
2 hours. Idiot.
And we were trying to make it short.
I really was trying. So yeah. I don't know what happened, but I will tell you this. This is, I don't know what this is about. Us, but I have listened to our last episode the first like 20 minutes multiple times. because of your comments and are looking up Google. It was so terrible, man.
There's been several people that have you know, they just walked up and like said the word.
Oh Lord.
Okay, listen. I was talking with Isaac, okay? And he was like, dude, I've never heard that word in my whole life. So after I tell this story, we can talk about coffee slingers because it has to do with Isaac. Okay. All right. So
he's about to have a new blend.
Yeah. So I'm talking to him and he's like, bro, where did you hear? Like, I've never even heard that term. And his son walks up and he goes, you've never heard that? And I was like, thank you. Somebody else. He's like, yeah, it's definitely like, it's a thing.
I know,
like,
it's a thing.
People
more people are saying it.
Yeah.
Which is terrible.
No. Well, okay. So I didn't mean to like put that out in the universe, but that it was put out in my universe. Okay. In my brain since childhood.
And oh, come on.
I'm telling you.
It hasn't been that long.
Yes. I've always thought it was called that.
Not since childhood, dude.
Dude, I'm telling you. Since childhood, because I always thought it was interesting. You can pinch that part of your elbow for as long and as hard as you want. Oh man. And you can't feel it. I've even had my kids.
You had someone bite it.
I did. I had my kids bite it.
That means it's a bad name. It's a bad word though. I don't know. So it says 2012, man. I mean, it's not that old. Like, that is not that old in our vocabulary.
Come on.
Seriously.
There's no way that word didn't come around until 2012. As far back as I can remember.
Oh, that is.
I'm telling you, as far back bad as memory, I can dude. Remember.
So here's one that's, bad memory. Here's one that's 2011.
That's why you're able to convince me that things didn't happen.
Origin. Here's the origin right here.
Come on.
I'm looking. Just a second. 1990s.
Okay.
But really, it was circulating in the 2000s. That's really when it started circulating. So how old are you? When were you born? 19 what?
1987.
See, you said since it's as far back as you can remember.
I didn't remember to the 2000s. Nobody walked up to me as a 2-year-old and said, you know that part of your elbow is called the weenus? Like, if they did, I wouldn't remember that. I don't remember being 2.
You don't remember being told it? You just always remember knowing it?
I do, yeah. Wow. I don't remember it ever being called
such an advanced.
Certainly not such an advanced the old cranial.
Old cranial.
we can't.
Old cranial talk. Skin. Old cranial skin. We should not go back in this one. No, this one's do. Over. What are we doing?
We gotta
dude?
Get out of this.
All right. So coffee slingers. Let's
coffee
go to
slingers.
That.
Yes. So somebody else in the universe knows it to be called that, and it's Isaac's son. And so I appreciated him taking
a man of the world
taking,
right there.
Yes. taking up arms with me. You know, defending me.
Yeah.
Anyhow. coffeeslingers.com/rabbit hole ramble. And you can get
what are we drinking today? Don't tell me it's Santa Sofia.
It is Santa Sofia.
Dude, I thought we had something else.
No, dude.
It burned my mouth, so.
Does Santa it Sofia, taste like anything else?
Santa Sofia, fire.
It's all fire.
Fire emoji. Fire emoji. Yes. So, yeah, that's awesome. Hey, also, Wes and Jessica Holland with our market, health market. So
yes,
thank you so much for their partnership. It is the 15th today. Is that right? 14th. So one more day for open enrollment. So
yeah.
By the time you hear this episode, too late. So,
but there's always,
but you could still get some help. No, you can still get help too.
Yeah.
So Wes and Jessica, please reach out to them. They're awesome. We'll put their contact information in the show notes. Facebook or text or phone call. All those are good options.
Yeah. They actually just called me last night, and the thing about that I've appreciated about them is they're super proactive. Like they help. They want to be a help, and they've helped me several times.
Did they save you money? Because they didn't call me to save me any money.
They did save me money.
Well, they've saved me money. That's accurate, yes. But did they call you last night to save more money?
No, they called me last night to make sure that everything was.
I got my new cards in the mail yesterday.
Correct and everything.
Did you get your new cards yesterday?
I did. I didn't get them yesterday. I got them the day before that, but I haven't.
Yeah, got my new 01/01/22 cards ready to go,
ready to rock and roll. So, but they just wanted to make sure that they were verifying all information was correct, so that we got the coverage that we need. So, good,
sweet,
appreciate it,
love it. So check them out. Thank you for checking them out. And thanks, Wes and Jessica, for partnering with us here on the Rabbit Hole Ramble.
We'll put the link to their website in the show notes.
Yes. So Facebook's probably easier. He told me Facebook's probably the best bet. But
okay.
But we, like last week, I put both of their Facebooks, phone numbers, way to get a hold of them. So
okay.
It's all cool. It's all be there in the show notes. So.
Sweet.
Awesome. Well, this is Ray.
And I'm Ruben.
And this is the Rabbit Hole Ramble. It's a podcast where we say the quiet part out loud.
Dude.
Boom,
we're
baby.
Back.
Made it happen. If I could cue the music. That's amazing.
We're back, baby. We are back. I hear our little bunnies.
What?
And then it cut off. Our little bunnies are still popping. One of the days we're going to figure this thing out.
Well, I'll add that in later. I believe in that. Peace.
Peace. Yeet. Shortest episode yet.
Shortest episode at 10 minutes.
Yes.
All right. Well, today we actually do need to do a short episode for lots of reasons. As you know, we have told you this before, that both Ruben and I are pastors. We work in ministry in a church. So that means that sometimes our life is not our own. Sometimes we have to accommodate. So today is one of those accommodations we're going to make for some events that are happening here at the church. So I thought, hey, as we get into our conversation, I thought we should have some like real good background mood music.
Oh, did you?
Which
figure,
would be really good. So
out?
I've picked a really,
I can't wait to hear it.
Album that I really enjoy.
Is it? Dude, is it Sia?
I almost feel like broken. Oh, here we go. So it's my boys over there, Surfaces, man. Surfaces. So good. So just leave that in the background, just real quiet. If you don't know Surfaces, you need to check them out. They got some fun music. So,
well, all right. Hopefully it's playing because I can't hear it.
You can't hear it?
No.
You don't hear any of it?
I don't hear it. Oh, there we go. It's only on the right side.
Yeah, me too. That's why I have this one ear in.
Okay, okay. See, I was DJing off the wrong ear, you know?
That's it. Problematic.
I love when I saw that picture on our Instagram. I was like, yes, that's
exactly what's happening right there. That's where we're at.
I felt like a little piece of home, you know?
Yeah.
That was good. Oh man.
Hopefully you can hear what we're hearing because Surfaces, they're just fun.
This is like beach music.
Oh yeah. Oh, it puts my mind on the beach, man.
Oh yeah, you can just picture yourself on the beach.
We haven't had any cold weather yet, so might as well be at the beach in Oklahoma.
Oh man, we've had some cold weather, but it's like
pretty little.
The thing about Oklahoma though is that it's cold without the reward of snow, and that ticks me off because in Michigan,
especially extended
where I grew up,
cold
is like
snow.
Yes, you have the cold, but you have the benefit of like actually bundling up and going out and sledding and snowboarding and skiing and all this stuff, and then you're like,
here, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, even if we got snow, you couldn't go snowboard or sled or anything. I mean, there's no hills.
Right.
It's all flat. Flatland.
Flat farmland.
Bummer. It's funny because every once in a while you'll see a hill, and when it snows, everybody in the world's at that one hill. It's funny. So we have a tiny hill at our house, and so the kids run out there and go down that hill. They have a good time. But the worst is when you wake up in the morning and it smells like snow. No snow.
Oh, especially if you're in school.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
like, oh, it's going to be a snow day. Psych!
Yeah, but today, snow days aren't even a real thing anymore, man. Because there's online classes.
Ooh. Mm.
That's bad.
Yeah, you can.
So, you'd mentioned something the other day that I thought was really interesting we should talk about for a minute, which is the word of the year. So, I don't know what everybody's tradition is that they do or what they... kind of how they planned or how they do the end of the year, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But you had mentioned the word of the year, and I've done that a couple times, but I haven't done it every year. I think it kind of depends on the year. So I was going to ask you to tell me how you come up with your word of the year.
Okay.
And how does that come about?
Yeah, there's not like this written out strategic process necessarily, other than I try to get alone and just ask the Lord like where he wants to take me. And it's a weird thing because it's a very personal time and kind of an intimate thing, but I guess I don't know how to like tell somebody else how to do it other than to create the time to actually sit and listen. So, and that's a discipline that I've tried to get better at throughout my life is create the space to actually listen to what God is trying to teach me and to pay attention to it. I think life passes by so fast that if you're not careful, you look back and you're like, what just happened? Yeah. You know, you can get 2 to 3 years down the road and you know, before you know it, your life has just passed you by. And part of it is reflection. So I reflect on the things that God has done the year previous. So typically in December, I'll try to spend some time just reflecting on the year. And I've actually started that practice throughout the year as well. I actually have kind of a journal going right now just called Reflections. And when I get the chance, sometimes it's weekly, sometimes it's monthly. But I try to like just look back, and I don't know, some people call it a gratitude journal. Some people call it, you know, other things. But for me, it's actually, I need to be reminded often of the things that God's doing in my life. So part of it is looking back and reflecting on what God has done. And then asking God, okay, like as a result of the things that you've done, is there anything that you want to continue teaching me? Like, is there something that kind of sticks out in my mind that maybe is unfinished yet? Like,
is the word sometimes reflect an area that needs attention, or does it sometimes reflect like something in your soul that you need, that you've enjoyed during the year that you want to really focus on? I mean, what's the?
I think for me, it's something that needs attention in my life. So a couple of years ago, my word was trust. And that was a season that I had no clue. Really, it was kind of, I don't know, like I'm not a huge prophetic guy, but like it was this sense that we were getting ready to step into a season where we weren't going to be, or sense that we were in a whole lot of control. Yeah. And and I didn't know what that was or where it came from, but that happened to be the year that all the transition happened with ministry and we came here, and just crazy, you know, like right. It happened pretty quickly. And then COVID happened, and I'm like, okay, that was,
and I that just was the year of trust.
Yeah, that was a year of trust. And so, and in that time, it was good because it helps me just focus on one area of my life. So I'm a person that like, if too much is on my plate, I'm pretty easily overwhelmed. And so that translates oftentimes into the spiritual realm. And if I try to work on too many things, like I feel like, oh man, like there's so much that needs to be done. I need to get better at this and get better at this and grow in this area and do these things. And I'm like that sometimes even with my scripture reading. And I had this conversation a couple episodes ago of like, man, what do you do when you're in a season of dry? Like you feel like you're spiritually dry, because part of that is like the anxiety that comes from like, man, I don't know what to read in this season. I don't know where to like even start, but it's, that helps me bring it into kind of a singular focus and be able to give myself the space to focus on that one area for that year. And so that's been really helpful for me, because if not, I try to work on too many things or try to accomplish too much at one time, and I end up overwhelming myself and then doing nothing, you know, and I find myself kind of in a similar spot a year later, and you're like, oh man, that kind of stinks.
Yeah.
So that's helped me, because I can look back and say, okay, in what ways did I trust God this year? So like if the word was trust, like that's part of the reflection.
So you go back
next year too.
So you go back and reevaluate. Mm-hmm. Has there been a year like 2020, for example, that you had the word trust, that somewhere along the way your word shifted and I know trust probably meant something that year, but has there been other years where you're like, this year is the year for grow? And then, well, I think God was trying to show me something else. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah. A couple years ago, I really wrestled with, and I'm like a pretty black and white person, you know, that like I try. And so it was actually hard for me to change because I was like, what in the world? Like, I thought this is what
your word was flexible, Ruben. You were supposed to be flexible, and you're like, no, I'm not changing my word.
No, it was growth. Okay. And I was like, man, what? Like, but then the word became, I think it was, I went from growth to like grace or it was rest. That's what it was. So from growth to rest,
interesting.
And which was like, to me, opposite. Two totally opposite things, because growth in my mind is like this, like, man, go do something and like get better and all this stuff. And then rest was like, at the time I kind of interpreted rest as
doing nothing,
like, yeah, just stopping.
Yeah.
But really what I found throughout that year of the rest was learning to rest in who Jesus was and is and who he says that I am. And so that was a great year for me, because not only did like I go from growth to rest, but it was like this transition of like, hey, you've kind of set yourself on this launching pad to do more and to be more and to like grow in all these different areas. But what I want you to learn is that even apart from those, like even if you can't look back and say, oh man, I accomplished this, I did this and did, you know, point to all these things, you are still who I say you are.
Yeah.
And that was like a transformative year for me, because it was just, I started to learn that who I was not dependent on what I did.
So your growth was resting.
Yeah.
So that is a growth.
That's hard for me, because I often attach what I do to my, like, I attach what I do to my who I am.
So Christy's identity. Calling. So that's one interruption we can make. So 1 second. Hello.
Hey, lady.
So as you know, we've told you that our wives can interrupt us, and this one interruption was a little longer than we could keep recording for. So we're back. We're back. So back on the word, man. So I'm not as rigid, but I have had words over the years that are meaningful, and then they've kind of morphed in over time, depending on what is happening that year, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think for the next few minutes, if we can talk practical, because if someone has never done the word, it seems to be like, what's the point? And so a couple of the questions I have is like, okay, so you talked about sitting and listening and reviewing last year. So to kind of see what happened this last year, maybe some areas of growth that you need to experience in your life, hearing what God has for you, like the direction that he's taking you. And then once you land, or once a word makes sense, then what do you do next with that word? Like, how do you remember it, communicate it, share it? Like, what's the process? Yeah.
I don't personally do a ton with it, like, as far as things that I do. It only does this for me. It just helps me pay attention to what God is doing. So it gives me some guardrails, so to speak, to like, for my mind, because if I'm not careful, my mind has a tendency to go everywhere, like, and to really chase down some things maybe that I shouldn't be chasing down, or to give a lot of airtime in my mind that I shouldn't be giving airtime to. And so for me, the word just simply gives me a direction, and there could be seasons throughout that year that I deviate, or maybe take a side road, or pull off on a dirt road, you know? And it's like, if you want to use kind of that driving metaphor and guardrail, so to speak, but it's just helpful for me because it gives me something to pay attention to specifically in my life, to what God is doing. And so whether it's a word or whether it is a, I don't know what else you would use, but to me, it's just simply
like a word or a principle, or a direction maybe. And I like the idea of direction. That's kind of in my wheelhouse anyway. What are the benefits of having that and reflecting on that? Mm-hmm. You know, you said it was like guardrails, paying attention to what you need to pay attention to. What are some other benefits you've seen of actually picking out a word?
Well, it's brought about, for me, it's brought about a lot of joy, really, because I think we can make the case in scripture and just in our lives in general, if we took the time to like sit and think about it, God's at work all the time.
Yeah.
But whether we recognize that work or not, and sometimes it's really frustrating because you're like, man, God, I don't see what you're doing.
Well, and sometimes it's humanity. Like we go through life and sometimes we think that you know, God, the supernatural, like what mm-hmm. The spiritual is not there. But yeah. If we pay attention to it, like the more we pay attention to it, the more we'll see it.
Right.
And then some people say, I never, ever hear from God. Well, if you begin to, like if you pick a word and then you begin to notice it, it's kind of like,
right.
It's kind of like you never see a certain car or a certain pair of shoes, but as soon as you buy that thing, you see it everywhere.
That is such a good way to describe what I'm trying to say, because that's all it is for me, is like simply it gives me a direction and something to pay attention to, because I want to know that God's at work in my life. So here's kind of a cool thing. Maybe I just read this morning, and I'm sure I probably had this thought at some point in my life, but it just hit me in a different way this morning. I was reading through where the angel tells, I think it's Joseph, that, you know, Mary's going to have a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to call him Emmanuel. It's a spiritual birth. Right. You know, it's like she hasn't cheated on you, whatever. He's kind of comforting him. And it says, you call him Emmanuel, God with us.
For real, man. Any other man, I mean, it would have to be some divine revelation angel to come and talk to you to say, yo, that thing that's happening with that girl you're dating, that you're engaged to, about to be married, that's God.
Yeah, because they're seriously, like, because I mean, I try to talk about a man of
trust. You don't want to talk about a man of trust to actually trust that he wasn't like
hallucinating. Yeah. Or like, did that really happen? I mean, because you wake up and you're like, dreams sometimes are dreams, and you're like, was that real?
Like, yeah, someone like slipped me something.
Yeah.
Dude, I had I told you guys a while back, but I had a dream that was so real when I woke up. But then when you think about it, you're like, no, that guy was a munchkin. That's not real.
You know? Yeah, that
can't be so real in the moment, you know? So Joseph, you know, he's like, comes out of his dream trance with angel appearing, and he's like, huh. Normally, you see an angel and you die. You know, that was like the thing. It's like, you see something supernatural, you might as well be heading out, you know?
Yeah.
But interesting. Yeah. I don't know. An amazing amount of trust.
Yes. And where I was going with that was like this. He said, you'll call him Emmanuel, God with us. And here's what's crazy, okay? You look at the Old Testament prophets and how God kind of communicated with his people back then, was through prophets and dreams and angels, but it was sporadic throughout the Old Testament. Like, it wasn't this consistent presence of God. Right. Like, and they had,
and going.
Had the temple, they had like the cloud and the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day and all that kind of stuff. And so there was kind of like this, they understood that God was there, but he wasn't like this
continual presence
that we have the privilege of experiencing today because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit that lives within us. And so it just wrecked me this morning, this idea, and it just filled my heart with such gratitude because we have the privilege of actually having a God who is with us every step of the way.
Understands.
And we can be confident in that, and we can have a, like, that's a truth that I often need to be reminded of.
Right.
And so this word thing helps me see how God is at work and remember and recognize and pay attention to the fact that God is with me and walking with me, and right. he's patient with me and directs me and guides my steps and all these things, these truths that we find in scripture, like it just helps with that. And right. it helps me like pay attention to it and see it in a different way.
Yeah, that's good. So it's kind of like signposts, and then you begin to notice yeah. and you're aware of it, and you see the benchmarks along the way and kind of mm-hmm. how things are showing up. So you're like a note taker, journaler, all mm-hmm. that stuff. So does a lot of your word infiltrate your note taking or no?
I think so.
Okay.
It kind of invades, it helps shape how I see God and what I believe about God.
Hmm.
So, because we can talk theology all day long, there's some really lofty ideas out there. There are some really deep theological terms that we know the definition of,
right.
but don't necessarily have an experience to tie to it.
Hmm.
And so what this does, the word for me, it brings down these, you talk about sometimes, you know, bringing the cookies to the bottom shelf.
Right.
That's what it does. It brings these lofty theological ideas, which theology is simply, I was telling our students the other day, because I said, I said the word theological terms, and some of them were like, look at me like a deer in the headlights. And I was like, okay, let me back up for a second. Theology is simply what you believe about God.
Right.
And so it brings these lofty theological ideas and what I've read to be true and what I've been told to be true to a level that I can see it and understand it and begin to experience God in a different way. And so it's helpful for me,
right.
Because it puts skin on some of these theological ideas.
Right.
Like, is God is trustworthy? You know, okay, so let me pay attention to the ways that God has been faithful this year, and it builds my trust in him. And really it builds my faith in who Jesus is and who I know God to be, because I'm paying attention to, and I can see the ways that God's right. at work. And so I'm like, oh, that builds confidence in the truths that I know about God.
So do you strictly journal that or write those notes down, like when you're having a moment of stillness and you're remarkable, or, you know, I not everybody has a tablet or anything like that. So I have this ongoing note in my phone, and I know some people do this. So you can open a note and you just have this ongoing note where you're taking notes, things that you're thinking of or pop in your head or things that God's showing you or signposts along the way, something you're paying attention to. And I think, you know, we can find practical ways, you mm-hmm. know, to make it happen. So it's like, you know, if you come up with your word and you make it an image on your phone, you can make it a screen lock, or you can do something to keep it in front of your, you know, in front of your mind,
uh-huh.
because I mean, humanity tends to drift. And so yeah. as the year goes by, you know, you hit January 5th and you've already drifted off your intention, you know? So it's like mm-hmm. having that word right there in front, having a note, an ongoing note where you see God show up. What's something that Christy and I and our family does, we have this jar. We picked it up at Orange Beach one time when we were at Orange Beach. We were at the store and we picked up this jar, and it's just it's like a memory jar.
Okay.
And it's a big, tall mason jar, and there's a hole in the top of the lid. And so Christy bought these little business side, pieces of paper that are like kind of textured. So they're like little business cards looking things. And we write daily or every other day or whenever we think about it, something good that's happening. And so like if today, like I wrote in there yesterday, praise God for Christy's healing, you know? And so I wrote that, put a date, put my name, and then I closed it up and put it in the jar. And so once a year we get our family together and we actually read through all the notes that we put in the jar.
Dude, that's a great
idea. And it's a really cool thing. So I think we can do that along the way. Like if you have a jar and you're like, okay, the word for our family this year is, or my personal word or my family's word is this. And then as you're reminded or as you see or as you're along the way and that thing happens, you could take a little note in your phone and then actually write that on the little note, drop it in the jar. And at the end of the year, you can see all the ways that was significant. You know, it'd be kind of cool.
That's kinda a like great idea.
Like a benchmark, you know, like a guide, a signpost. So,
and if you have like another way to like maybe in December when you're maybe doing this, the reflection side of things, if you journal with paper, just like a notebook, or you actually have like a paper journal, you could go through and like look at how many times that word shows up throughout the year. Like if you're a journaler, maybe you're not, if you're a, you know, just a quick jot note taker and you have this ongoing note, could be cool. Like if it's digital, you could search for the word of the year and see like in all your notes, how it popped up, you know, like I think that would be kind of a cool way to like reflect on it as well.
Yeah.
But that jar, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And I think some people do a word, personal word, and then a family word.
Okay.
I've done like personal, family, and then church word. I've done different things like that. A lot of them overlap and a lot of them kind of are consistent theme, but yeah. So the benefits, we talked about the benefits of doing it, kind of the why behind it. I don't even know where that started. I don't know who was the person to do the word first, but
I don't even know where
it's been around a while.
Yeah.
So I know different people do it. So what are some other practical ways to remind yourself throughout the year of your word? Maybe set up a reminder in your calendar, pop up every so often, you know, like, hey, XYZ word, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because if it's me, I need like a trail map. It's like if I have if I go hiking, I like to know where I'm going.
Yeah.
And there's detours, like you said, along the way that you can go off and look at a waterfall or go off and look at some other mountain. But if you have a destination in mind, you'll get there. You know, you have a direction set, you'll get there. So some of the things along the way is like, I need to remember this. So it could be quarterly or it could be monthly or something, you know, like a reminder.
Well, and quite honestly, for me, I've tried to keep a good amount of freedom within it. And that's why I think direction is helpful more than like a destination, because here's how my mind works is if I set a destination for the year, then and where I want to be, if I don't make it there, then I have a tendency to look at the year as a failure instead of look at all the things that God did throughout the year. That's why I think if you, a word that is kind of open-ended, if you will, of like not a, so this isn't like some people do goal setting, some people do some things that are, they kind of map out their year and they like set a dirt, like, goals, like what do we want to accomplish this year? Mm-hmm. And that's different than I think that's a different thing. And that's not what we're talking about.
I think goal setting or people that do like New Year's resolutions and there's different things that people do at the end of the year to get ready for the next year. This is not that. This is not like, this is my 6 month plan, my 1 year plan, my 5 year plan. This is not that stuff. This is more something maybe that God on a bigger scale is trying to do in your life. And so we know that people listen to our podcast that don't necessarily have a relationship with God, and maybe they're seeking one or maybe they had one. So we understand all that. But I think all of us can pay attention to what's happening around us and in a significant way. And so in Ruben and my life, you know, we have a significant relationship with Jesus, and the relationship with Jesus is based on the truth claims that we find in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so the claims in Scripture is that God looked at the world that he created, and he saw that we were dust, but he still loved us and sent Jesus into this world as a human being. So in Philippians, Paul says that Jesus laid aside his godness, if you want to put it that way, his deity, his otherness. He laid it aside and submitted himself to the very creation that he made as a baby. And so the most vulnerable place that a human can find himself is in the womb. Yeah. And so he was conceived by the Holy Spirit with Mary. Mary had this baby in a room for 9 months, the Son of God. And so and so when Jesus was born as a man, as a baby, as a human, super vulnerable. So he went through all the struggles we did. He went through the hunger and the tiredness and had poopy rags, you know, and all the stuff that his mom had to change. And so, and he grew, and as he grew to obey God. He grew to have a relationship with God. He teaches us all sorts of radical things in Scripture. Matthew chapter 5, I'm reading this to Max right now at night, and we're going through the book of Matthew when he just got to the Sermon on the Mount. Powerful sermon. And so Jesus himself as a 30-year-old entered into the public life to show the world that he was the Son of God. And so Reuben and my relationship with God is based on what Jesus did as a human. So he went to the cross. He took our sin. Every imperfection and every deviation, every evil in the world, along with those ones that we don't think are so bad, the little white ones, you know, that sometimes we call a white lie, Jesus took them upon himself. And when he died, the last words he said was, "It is finished." Tetelestai, I think, is the word in Greek. I probably butchered that if you know Greek, but tetelestai, depending on how you say it. But those words is, "It is finished." And so Jesus accomplished what you and I could never accomplish with all our planning and all our improvements and all the growth that we have and the words that we can create. Jesus did in 33 years what you and I will never do in a lifetime, which he paid the debt that we could never pay. And the most powerful thing about Jesus, and this is the difference in Jesus and any other God, any other supernatural being, is that Jesus died and yet the grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. Mm-hmm. And scripture says that 3 days later, he rose. Here's one of the most documented, well-documented things in history is that Jesus was a man that lived and that Jesus rose because he appeared to hundreds of people after he rose. It also radically changed his disciples, the people that followed him. They were, the last days that Jesus was on earth, they were running for their lives. And then just a short time later, they turned the world upside down with the resurrection, the life of Jesus. And what a powerful move. You can even see it in the life of Peter, that Peter denied Jesus, cursing him, even cursing himself that he didn't know Jesus. And then he preached one of the most powerful sermons in history, where thousands of people were converted. And so our relationship with Jesus is based on a personal experience of knowing him. And one of the things about the rabbit hole ramble that gets lost sometimes is that as we say the quiet part out loud, as we talk through things that most people don't want to talk about, in the underlying background of our experience is a true relationship with Jesus. Yeah. And so we may seem to you at times as you listen, these guys don't know. These guys are super carnal. These guys may be, especially Ray. I mean, Ruben's pretty spiritual, but especially, yeah, right. You know, some of the things we talk about.
You'd be better than that, right?
I mean, it's just like, you know, some of this gets lost. And yeah. I think for this one, around this time and this season, we want to be as clear as possible that we have a relationship with Christ, with Jesus, with God. And the reason that we have hope and the reason we can even have joy and fun and laugh and we can love life is because we've met life and we've met life with Jesus. Yeah. And we don't want anyone to miss that point. And now everybody's journey is different. And I think the thing about us is that we understand the patience that God has with us, but then also with other people. Everyone's somewhere different on their journey. Yeah. But God pursuing us is an amazing thing. So that word that you said, Emmanuel, God with us, there is no other God in history that has become like us. And he did that at great sacrifice, personal sacrifice, in order to connect us with God.
Yeah,
powerful.
It is a pretty amazing thing. And what you said, you know, even in the your message on Sunday was, you know, the whole idea of it is finished. Man, what a restful place. Because okay, and this is the such good news, because it makes room for a podcast like this.
Yeah.
So we're asking these questions and having these conversations because, not because they popped out of thin air, but because they're questions that we personally wrestle with. So it doesn't come without wrestling. It doesn't come without curiosity. It doesn't come without questioning.
Right.
And that's the beauty of God. And like you said, his patience with us is that he made room. Like, God's not afraid of our questioning.
At
all. I think sometimes we're like afraid to ask the question
because he's gonna
be
offended.
Oh man, like, yeah, he's gonna be offended. And it's like, God, like, he's able to answer those questions. He's able to meet those questions where they're at. And
difficult questions are good, because when you ask the difficult questions and when you have a tension of the unknown, mm-hmm. you actually get to know someone better and you fall in love with someone better, because you have those moments where you're trying to understand. And God is opening his arms wide to say, please ask. When we talk about mental health, when we talk about people that have been abused physically, people that have been abused spiritually, people that have had really difficult encounters with religion, people that have had difficult encounters with Christians and difficult encounters with church, we actually understand this, and God more than anybody understands it, and He wants us to be curious enough to ask and to find and to seek. But a lot of us just toss our hands up in the air and walk away when it's the experiences and people that we're questioning, not God, you know. And God's okay with our questions. He really is. And that's what this podcast is all about. Let's have a conversation. Let's say the quiet part out loud. Let's put out there what we're thinking and everybody else is thinking too.
Because I think, and that's what it's like, you have to have a conversation about it. You have to ask the questions. You have to talk through the questions and it just, it breaks my heart that there's people all over the world who have questions and don't have a place to ask them because they've either, their questions have either been shut down or met with like a, oh, we don't ask that or whatever.
You
like,
can't say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Or met with, yeah, condescension of like,
don't you know? Believe, you moron?
Yeah, don't you know? Yeah. And that's like, I think that's what's got me to where I'm at, is asking questions. And so you mentioned something, you know, maybe about people who are listening that are maybe seeking, or they're on a journey just like we are, and maybe they're at a different place in their journey. And I think that's okay. So I would say this, that, you know, the psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So I would challenge you, like, man, if there's an area where you're like, you know what, I really don't believe this about God, or this, like, I've heard this about God, but I don't really believe it. Maybe that's something that you make the word of the year and then you pay attention to it and see what God does.
And maybe the word is doubt. And so this word is doubt. And so I'm going to just, anytime a doubt floats or runs or walks across my mind, I'm going to notice that, write it down, and then start paying attention. Yeah. And maybe the word is fail. You know, and there's the word is just a direction, and that's really all it is. Is like, if you're seeking, the scripture says, if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be opened. And I think many of us, like we've talked about on this podcast, are just reactionary. We're not we don't plan very well. Mm-hmm. The good news, like you said, and that we've been talking about, the good news is you can dismantle your faith and the things you believe, and you probably should. Because a lot of our faith is a house of cards. You pull one out and it falls apart. Mm. And what we need to be about is actually dismantling it, looking at it, putting it back together, and dismantling it, looking at it, putting it back together. Because little by little, as we do that, it'll actually strengthen us and grow.
Yeah, and Paul would say it like this. He says, like, test your, you know.
Yeah. Foundation almost. That's the word he says.
Man, what is I just slipped my mind. He says, how does he say it?
Oh, he says, test everything is what, I mean, that's why, I don't know if that's where you're headed, but test everything, throw away the bad stuff.
Work out your salvation.
Examine
And
it.
So examine it. Like, you use that, that just sticks in my mind, is like this diamond of beauty, and there's so much to be discovered.
So many facets
that you can look at it from all different angles, and you can see it differently and look at it. And I think that's like what God wants for us, is that He welcomes the questions, He welcomes the curiosity, He welcomes the doubt, He welcomes, because
and he invites wants us you into to discover. The journey. That's the thing, is this trail, this trail that you are on. And the destination that we're heading in life, the purpose of our life, He's inviting us into the adventure. That's what He's doing.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
What a gift it is to be able to be in a place and in a headspace to be able to ask questions and say, God, like, I have questions about this. Yeah. And having conversations and
some people think a question and questioning your faith is a slippery slope to walk away. But actually, discovering and asking questions actually builds and makes it stronger.
Yeah.
So I encourage the questions.
The more questions that I ask and the more answers that I find, the less likely I am to be shaken when somebody ask something or challenge something. Because
there's some people that have some compelling arguments that you're like, crap.
Yeah.
I am an idiot, you know? And then you feel that, and then you kind of restructure it and rebuild it. And it's really, it's a powerful thing. So unfortunately, we're running out of time. So I'm gonna play a song from Surfaces, and this is going to get us to our next little section, which is rapid fire questions. So I gotta say that better. I actually asked Lily to make us a little theme transitional thing for the rapid fire questions.
This is not what she made.
No.
Oh, I was like,
I wish, man, that'd be good.
Sweet.
This is just a fun little song called
"There It Is."
Let It Ride.
Let the questions ride.
Let the questions ride.
I only have two for you today. One's personal, and then one is kind of theological.
You like last week, man, you just brought up all the church questions.
Well, it's funny. Started it, dude.
I know, it's funny.
You dropped bombs on me first week. I was like, dude.
It's funny. So once you get to this chorus, man, this is a fun chorus, then we'll pause it and then we'll go into our rabbit. Why don't I say rabid? Rabbit fire questions.
The rabid rabbits.
The wabid wabbits. It's like an animal that's like rabid, you know. Here we go.
Like let it ride. Uh-oh, Ray singing again. I can't sing. So I'm gonna spare you.
Well, you
guys.
Can try.
I'm gonna spare
you can my try. Listeners.
Let it ride. I'm gonna have to look this band up because this is
that's fun, man. It's so fun music. Oh, it's super calming, super good. All right, so let's get this down and let's have our first rabbit fire questions. Man, I'm just having a hard time with that. I need to pre-record it and just push enter, you know?
Boom.
All right. So are you going to set a timer or am I going to set a timer?
I'll set a timer.
All right. So as our rules are, we have rabbit fire questions. 1 minute.
1 minute.
And then when the minute's over,
yikes.
And then if you kind of go nuts, you just got the little ramble.
Which so. Takes it, you don't want to ramble because that, no, takes,
that just
up,
takes up
like 30 seconds.
15 seconds of your ramble. So yeah,
you
definitely
talk over it. Just
definitely don't do that. So, all right. Are you first or am I first? You first because you have two questions that are ready. So
how many do you have?
I'm going to have it. I'm up in the air. I'm going to start with, I got a couple that I'm going to wait and see what you give me.
So. Oh, no. Come on, dude. All right.
If you throw me a fastball, I'll throw you a fastball. You throw me a softball, I'll throw you a softball.
How about you start then?
No, you're up, man. Go,
dude,
go,
come
go,
on.
Go.
All right. First question is favorite vacation you've ever been on?
Oh, that's hard. So many experiences. So I'm going to categorize these. My favorite absolute all-time vacation because of rest was we went on a family trip to Hawaii. Mm. And if you've ever been to Kauai, there's nothing to do there. It's just an island with some beaches. And there you can do snorkeling and stuff. So my absolute favorite, after I got over the shock that there was nothing to do. Okay. So the first 2 days, I was walking around like, what the crap? You know, like, this is crazy. But then day three, I was like, oh, let it ride. You know, so good. So that's my most relaxing vacation.
Okay.
But the most fun that I've had is a Disney vacation, dude. We went to Disneyland, Disney World for a week. Mm-hmm. And so we went to the park, I think it was 4 days. Oh, dude, that was fun. Shout out to Robert Hodges for actually making that schedule happen. Yeah. Super
Let's
good.
Let's go.
So that's it.
You made it.
Thanks, man.
No need for a buzzer, dude. That was good. That was spot on. It was 59 point something seconds.
So good. So good. All right.
Ray's good.
Here's my first question for you.
Oh, come on, Ruben. Dude. Are you going to throw me fastball?
It's going to be easy, man.
Okay.
What are your 2022 plans for the Rabbit Hole Ramble?
My 2022 plans for the Rabbit Hit Hole start. Ramble. Oh. My plan is to continue having fun and to continue hopefully helping people. I told you.
That was crap. That's all I got to say.
Ew,
that was crap.
Come on, bro. you set like the demon one off, dude. It was so long.
God, it's so long,
going.
Dude. It just
bro,
keeps going. I'm so sorry.
20 seconds of my clock.
I'm
dude,
sorry.
That was
I'm
so
sorry.
Rude. Dude, I've always said, as long as it's fun and if we continue to help people and we keep getting feedback that some of our episodes are helpful. Maybe not all of them. But good. As long as we can throw some help in every once in a while, it's good. No,
it's a few weenuses and a few help. A little help.
Oh, dude, you're wasting all my time.
And licking licking ketchup. Like Stop! Episode two.
I only got 10 seconds left. Dude, okay, now my time's out, dude. This is a bummer.
Yeah, you knew you were just going to talk about... You knew you were just going to talk about fun and productive. You know,
no, I had no... I didn't know you were going to ask me that question. That's my underlying for all of it. So that's funny. I continue on that path.
That's funny. All right.
All right.
Give me your theological one. Let's go.
I'm nervous to ask you this one because of what you might fire back at me with. All right. What is hell?
This is hell. Oh, no. Oh, crap, dude. All right. This is a good, difficult question that cannot be answered in a minute. But so hell, in scripture, there's a bunch of words that are defined as hell, that are translated as hell. So there's Gehenna, there's Hades, there's Sheol. There's a whole bunch of words that are translated into hell, okay? Jesus said that hell is a place that separates man from God. Mm-hmm. And so there's a difference between a temporary hell and an eternal hell, lake of fire. Everybody merges those thoughts together, but they're separate things. There's Sheol, which is an abyss, a separation, a darkness. And then there's the lake of fire, which is in scripture says it's an eternal holding place for the Satan and his demons. So we'll have to talk about that one some other time, you know, as we have more than a minute.
Yeah.
Unsatisfying answer, but
that was, dude. That was, well, I think you did a good job in a minute though.
Crap.
But that's the point though, is like to kind of
let it ride. Cue the music.
Oh man, he's gonna, I feel like.
All right, you ready, Ruben? Since you dropped that bomb.
Oh,
on me.
Come on, dude. He's gonna kill me. Oh man.
Since you dropped that bomb on me,
don't do it, right?
You have what 1 minute to answer this question. Shoot. What is the one sin that separates us from God?
The rejection of the Spirit. They say, well, I think it's like this. Well, I guess I would say unbelief. Because there's a point where he says, oh man, he's loving it over here. What do they say? The unpardonable sin, you know, I forget the exact passage, but basically those who reject God. Like, and I don't know that that's like a something that it's not like this thing that you do as much as it is like the disbelief of that God is the only way to, or Jesus is the only way to, eternal life. Oh man, that was super unsatisfying as well. Jeez.
We're gonna have to revisit that one a little bit.
Yeah, we will.
But just the idea that we would say the one sin that separates us from God is a rejection or an unbelief. Oof. That's a big old hole we can jump into.
Yeah, because there's so, like, oh man, that was unsatisfying.
All right.
Oh man, I want to say.
So my last question that has nothing to do with rabbit fire has nothing to do with that. But have you stopped spending money for Christmas? That's my last question for you.
I'm gonna start the clock. Easy. Yes.
So you got a card, you know, you're like,
credit card paid off. Yay! Yeah, that's how, like, I feel right now.
Credit card paid off. Let's see, which one's that one? Oh, that's the thinking. Never mind.
That was not credit card paid off. Oh, and he's pushing all buttons, dude. What just run your fingers across the entire board and see what happens.
Yeah. Cool.
That's funny.
I think I've stopped. I have to buy one more thing. I have to buy one more thing for my secret elfster thing. But other than that, I think I'm ready. And now that I'm thinking about it, I may have run out of time to get it here on time.
Oh, dude, you better Amazon one day it, dude.
Better do it quick, dude. Oh, crap. See, and if it's not on Amazon one day, I'm missed.
Uh-oh. You're in trouble.
All right. Well, this was a short one, dude. It had to be short. I don't think it's our shortest ever, but it definitely was shorter than normal. So we will catch you. And here's what we're trying to toy with, because it is the middle of December. December's tough. So you may not see the ramble again until next year, but we'll see. We're going to see how we can work this out. So if we don't talk again, Merry Christmas. If we don't talk again, Happy New Year.
We said that at the same time, dude. That was good.
And if we don't talk again, all I got to say is this right here. Oh, crap. I should have had this ready. Oh, here we go. If we don't talk again, all you need to know is...
Little drummer boy.
Jesus smiling at you. I mean, see, and I want to say Jesus. It's little drummer boy. This little drummer boy's beating the drum, and he's smiling. Yeah.
So good.
So
remember the little drummer boy.
Just remember.
Well, remember Jesus, and then the little drummer boy.
When you hear a drum, think of Jesus. That is your word for the year.
He beat death. Hell in the grave. Nice! Dude, that was a Jesus juke. All Jesus juke right there.
Death, hell in the grave.
Like you beat bada bing,
bada
drum.
Bing, bada bing. Do we have a drum on this thing?
I don't even know if we have a drum.
That would be hilarious.
I'm just going to give myself one of these.
Oh, that was good.
That was a good Jesus juke.
And then I'm going to give you one of these.
No, come on. That's the worst sound out there. You're the one that said never press number six.
Oh, it wouldn't do it. Oh, phew.
Oh, there's so much going on right now. This is chaotic.
Yeah, it's just the end of the year chaos, man.
Yeah.
What more could we want for the whole ramble is chaos.
Song playing sounds going on.
So, without further delay of time, this is Ray.
Man. And I'm Ruben.
This is the Rabbit Hole Ramble. Pick your word for the year, people. Make it happen. Why don't you like DM us your word of the year? That would be awesome.
That would be
good. So then we'll create a graphic with all the words of the year from our jack wagons.
Oh,
I think Ruben's word for the year is jack wagon.
My word for the year is...
weenus.
Not... Oh, no! Yeah.
Is that your word for the year?
Not to be duped by people.
Duped.
Not to be swayed.
Yeah,
so
not
easily
to be
swayed.
Manipulated.
Oh, no.
Not to be so gullible. Yeah. Your word for the year is gullible. That's it. Anti-gullible.
Is
there an opposite of gullible?
Intelligence.
Astute. That would be your word for the year. Astute. Yeah. Discerning.
Astute. Discerning.
No, should I say
my brain's
this
going
or not?
Nuts right now. I don't know what to choose.
All right, everybody. Have a good one. Peace.
See ya. Yeet.
Bada-boo. Bada-beep.